Right. Hello, everybody, and thanks again for sticking around, you know, get out of that paradise for a while. My presentation is on biochar and compost and their effects on tall fescue growth and partially drought tolerance. Now, the presentation today, the data you're actually going to see, is all related to establishment rates. The drought research has been conducted, and I'll speak to some of those conclusions, but I'm just going to show you some data from our establishment work. Okay, so here's the standard spiel, right, about turf grass and how it's all in danger because of water restrictions, right? Small pools of turf grass area, like parks and golf courses and lawns. When you group those all together, they become a large area of cultivated land. So that represents a significant input of water use. Very high percentages of water use in the municipal areas, especially in the southwestern United States, are dedicated just to maintaining turf grass at acceptable qualities. It's also targeted in water use reduction, right? The first thing they tell private people to do is take less showers and then water your lawn less. And even though they say that turf grass doesn't really serve anything and it's just a luxury expense, it does have a lot of benefits in a community and in planting it, right? We got stabilization of soils, especially on roadsides. We've got mitigation of the heat island effect in urban areas, which people really undervalue. I mean, cut downs of 5 degrees Celsius can save lives in summer heat waves. Herbicide and pesticide runoff can be reduced using the turf grass as a sort of biosequestering sponge. So now I hope I've demonstrated that we need turf grass and we should find ways to maintain it in a healthy state. Here's a blow-up, actually, of that water restriction map that the gentleman from Kansas showed. Here's California, okay? Constant states of droughts, more or less. Not a pleasant place if you're a turf grass manager trying to conserve resources. A few of the primary strategies to reduce turf grass water requirements, right? We've got the use of warm season turf grass species, and this is a very effective method, but you've got the dormancy period to deal with. And a lot of professional turf grass managers, especially on a golf course, they can't tolerate that period of dormancy. You need to keep your customers happy. And if you're a landscaper, you need to keep those customers happy. If you're a homeowner, you got to keep your family happy, appreciating the way that their home looks. So we've got chemical amendments like surfactants and products like this. We can use better irrigation or fertilization schedules, right, to increase hardiness. But what my project focuses on and what my lab really focuses on is modification of soil structure, primarily through the use of biochar, but also in this study, with the use of compost amendments. How does biochar work in the soil? All right, the claims have been made. Some of them have been overblown. Some of them have been really shown to be effective in the literature. Nutrient dynamics in the soil can be modulated with the use of biochar, but our focus is on water dynamics in the soil. There's also some talk about increasing microbial populations of beneficial microbes, which can help turf stay healthy under stress periods. A little breakdown of biochar and where it comes in this process, right? So we've got, really, the reason I chose to work in biochar is because I believe in carbon sequestration and that if we can find a way to make carbon sequestration marketable without relying on carbon credits, then maybe I can do a little good behind the scenes. You'll see here that biomass sequesters carbon dioxide. We're all aware of this process, right? And then that biomass, if converted through anaerobic heating or pyrolysis into a biochar product and incorporated into the soil, will actually sequester that carbon for thousands of years. Okay? So we're trying to show some additional benefits of the biochar besides just this, because not a lot of people are going to charitably purchase and incorporate this stuff into their lawns. They need to be able to show some benefit. Here's a little illustration of a blown-up picture of biochar, right? Graphene sheets, a lot of space. Here's the breakdown, 83% space, 17% skeleton. The idea is that that can kind of act like a sponge, hold a lot of water. The charged ends of the graphitic skeletons, those small pieces, those can also retain nutrients. Now, all this stuff that I've spoken about so far is related to water usage, right? But as I said at the beginning, this research project works mainly with establishment rates. And that's why I have this point right here on this slide. If we want this technology to be adopted by professional turf managers and by homeowners, we need to show that it's not going to negatively impact establishment rates. As you also spoke to earlier, that's incredibly important. If you lose a couple weeks of productivity, then people just get really upset with you. Now, we've looked at live turf cover using one of these standard light boxes, right? It creates a uniform lighting condition so that you can take a digital camera and calculate the percentage of live turf cover enclosed in the light box area, as well as some things about the dark green color index and quantitative measures of turf attractiveness. There's a couple of breakdowns here. We got field and greenhouse components of the study. We showed a negative impact in the field of the compost amendments on our establishment rates of tall fescue. We found that biochar could potentially mitigate that effect. Now, this study was set up at this field site here. We got 64 8-foot by 8-foot plots. It's a beautiful study site. Each one of those 8-foot by 8-foot plots has four sprinkler heads, one at each corner. So we can really control the amount of water that each plot is getting and get a really accurate sort of irrigation scheduling. Here's a little greenhouse picture. And here is a map of the study site. The study was established to have different irrigation regimes. You can see here irrigation treatments. Don't worry too much about this text you can't read. I'm going to show it all to you a lot nicer in a second. So you'll see we got different irrigation treatments in the original design of the study. However, we had to establish the turf with the same irrigation regime so it wouldn't confound results later, which we saw as an opportunity to actually do this establishment study. And what that means is we had 8 replicates of each amendment. So it gave us a lot more statistical power and made it a really nice establishment study. Now, these results on the left side are our results from the field. We didn't intend to replicate this study in the greenhouse. The greenhouse results are on the right there. But we noticed a negative impact of our biosolids and green waste amendments on establishment rates. We've got the separation of means there, and DAS 50, DAS 75, those mean the days after seeding that it takes the turf to reach 50% and 75% live turf cover, respectively. Then the final cover, it's kind of self-explanatory, you know, it's the cover at the end of our study period. You'll see here that what you actually want are smaller letters, because the separation of means, right, C is going to mean less days to reach that cover. You got that. Cool. Biochar amendments had no effect on our establishment rates. Everything stayed really constant there. However, our biosolids, our green waste amendment, our combined green waste and biochar amendments all slowed establishment rates and mostly resulted in lower final cover. Because of restrictions in space, you'll see that there's no combined biosolids and biochar treatment. We corrected this problem in our replication in the greenhouse, and for whatever reason, we got a way more clear breakdown in the greenhouse replication of the study. You'll see that our biosolids treatment never reached 75% cover. Our green waste treatments didn't even reach 50% cover. But if you focus on these combined amendments of biosolids and biochar, the biochar amendment actually mitigated that negative impact on establishment rates. So with the green waste, we got up to 50%. It took longer than any other treatment, but we still got up there. Biosolids, a lot more comparable, you see, to the controls or the biochar amendments. We wanted to see how this could, what was causing this effect, right? And we did see reduced underground growth also. The root length was reduced in our biosolids right here, and our green waste amendments right here and here. However, that effect of biochar rescuing the establishment rate did not correlate to an improved root growth, which we thought was interesting. We're still investigating that to see exactly what that means. Improved above ground growth, but not improved below ground growth. It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe for you to research, huh? What we really got down to, at least with the biosolids compost, was an issue of salinity. You'll see where tall fescue, our organism here, falls as moderately tolerant to soil salinity, turfgrass species. But if you set 6 to 10 decisiemens per meter, right, this is our compost technical data sheet for our biosolids. And that range of salt content is way higher than that which should be tolerated by the tall fescue. So that's probably what was causing that effect. There's also some ideas we have going on about why the greenhouse was reducing establishment rates, mostly due to particle size, but due to time restrictions, I'll kind of leave that behind. Here's a couple visual, representations or examples of what was going on there in the study. This is about a few weeks into the establishment process, and you'll see that everything's establishing at, you know, a pretty nice rate, except for that biosolids. That's that 2BS there on the end. Hardly any establishment at all. Also, we have a reduced establishment with our green waste compost, as shown in the data. But that second from the right pot there, that 2BS with 5BC, that's our combined biosolids and biochar amendment. And you'll see that that's really effectively rescuing the negative impact of the on establishment. Now, we talked about establishment. I told you we'd talk a little bit about water use. Okay? And that's what this next picture is going to show you. This is why this really matters. These compost amendments, whether or not used with biosol, with biochar, they result really clearly in a retention of green color after withholding irrigation completely. Okay? These are really nice pots from the study there. And the highest rate of biochar did retain a little bit of green cover. Our high rates of compost retained a lot of green color. Even our biosolids treatment, though it had lower establishment rates and lower final coverage, it was able to retain a more aesthetically pleasing appearance after withholding irrigation. When you combined those treatments with the biochar, you got the same benefit in retention of green color under the drought conditions. You also rescued and prevented that reduced establishment rate. So what this says to me, and what this sort of is how I'm presenting this information to you, is that a compost product, which otherwise would not be suitable for professional or commercial use because of delays in establishment or lower turf cover following use of the soil amendment, may become viable and effective if you package it with a biochar product. A lot of people are advertising and saying synergistic effects between compost and biochar, and I believe that this is a very effective demonstration of one of those synergistic benefits. And I believe that that will bring me to the end of my study and my acknowledgement slides, so I could thank my professor for showing up to this talk as well. And I think I actually got a few minutes for questions, if anybody's got any. I really should have included our breakdowns of nutrient contents. Yes, the level of ammonium and the level of nitrates in the biosolids compost, it was high, but it was not outside of the recommended realms for application, or recommended ranges for application. So the salinity was what really, I set everything up sort of in like an Excel spreadsheet, you know how you do, and then you see which falls in the yellow or the red zones of totally out of bounds. And the thing that came up as the most repressive element of the compost as far as growth was the salinity, and that's why I focused on that. Definitely some questions to be asked, though, about the nutrient composition of that compost. Wish I had a nice graph for you there. Sorry. Yeah. It was the Cool Planet biochar. I believe that this particular batch was from coconut shells. They mix up their recipes so often with them, you know, every time they get a new crop of workers or higher ups, they always change the composition. But now that we actually are doing the reduced irrigation study, we found that the highest rate, which was 10 tons per acre or 22.4 tons per hectare, we found that that rate is maintaining higher quality under reduced irrigation. So while you probably noticed I didn't speak a lot to the benefits of the biochar under establishment, it did not negatively impact establishment, and with differential irrigation, we're seeing a benefit for it. So that's another thing. It's nice to be able to say, hey, it's not going to have any negative impacts. It would be nicer to say it's got a positive benefit. But this is what we got. Yes, please.
What are the economics of those treatment applications?
They are, to be completely honest, every person I've spoken to, every superintendent, they've said that the cost of those amendments is prohibitive, and they wouldn't be able to justify using them. However, Some of us hope for a day when we can actually trade in carbon credits and use that as a sort of benefit. If we started to value the ability of the biochar to sequester carbon in the soils, then that would drop those prices considerably. And there is a huge market in private individuals, of course, who do have that sort of motivation, where they're willing to take a little price, a little increase in price, if they can feel good about what they're doing in their lawn. But bundling it with the compost, you may be able to get some sort of collaboration going on there to bring prices down. But yeah, there's no rate that we included in this study. Even the lowest rate was considered a little bit over cost for people.